wrapping up the weekend of footy.
We'll get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is the best of Damo's recovery. You can get the whole thing by subscribing to the Rush Hour Catch-Up podcast on the Triple M app.
When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 15 52.
Damo, nice to have you in, and there's a fair bit of news flying around as we get these games crossed off.
Yeah, there is, Jim, and before we touch the actual games themselves, and we're entering day 13 of this 20-day of consecutive football sequence we've got, the abuse of players, which we, as a station, I think even as individuals in the conversation here, often choose and feel that it's best to leave away from the public ears and eyes what goes on. But given Mitch Robinson has today referenced some abuse that players are copping over people losing multi-bets on the back of players not reaching certain targets. And then we had on the weekend, as we know, Callan Ward receiving a death threat for the free kick that he received late in that game on the weekend. It's reached the stage where clearly the Players Association are full steam ahead now in calling this behaviour out. And while it's a ploy that is not always comfortable with me, I totally get Jim and Bill where they're at with this. They clearly have had enough. We had Aaron Hall's situation last week. Yep. We've had so many other matters relating to this as well.
What's the Mitch Robinson one, Damo?
He's just referenced, Bill, and made public how players are receiving abuse regularly. And we know this has been going on for some time now.
And
that is that if they're putting a player in to get a certain amount of kicks or disposals or goals within a wider multi-bet, and if that player kicks one goal and not two goals and they're losing these multi-bets, you know, maybe worth $100 or whatever it is, and he's referenced the $100 bet return on a $5 bet outlay as you know, the recent abuse. So it's pretty ordinary, I reckon, the access that the public think they've got to these players via these social media platforms. And I suppose the more disturbing one, to me anyway, was the Callan Ward one, which actually reached his own email, and that was the club email that they used. But to think that they can take it down another depth when it comes to getting in or attempting to get inside the heads of the athletes just on the back of what happens on the field, it's quite worrying, because it is a violation, isn't it, of their thought space as much as anything. And you could tell and listening to Callan Ward that he was quite disturbed by it, not so much for himself, but what his family by extension was being subjected to.
I, with Mitch Robinson and what he's talking about, Purple, I know this is real. As you two know, I don't ever gamble, but as I know this is real because on my own platform, which is only Instagram, at Global and Trending, the number one, I get blokes having a go at me about my nephew's output.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, you know, they'll go, thanks very much to one of the two of them for, you know, getting 20 kicks and not 22, because if they got 22, I would have ended up collecting $240 from a multi. I don't even understand what that is because I'm not a punter. But so if that's happening there, what Mitch Robinson's talking about is real. But how do we... What the hell do we do about it, Damo? These young people live their lives on social media, so how are we ever going to impact this?
Yeah, they do, Jim. And look, I've had this conversation a few times with a few people. I don't know, and I hate saying that there is no solution in the way I see it to be, because I also know there's an element out there of people who actually like us even now talking about what they do, because that's often what drives them.
Yeah, because their lives are irrelevant.
Their lives, there's that aspect of it. And they actually poke and prod and hope that someone has a reaction, like a Callan Ward, like a Mitch Robinson. Yep. And these people who live a very, very ordinary way of approach to a lot of parts of their lives, get off on the worry they cause in others and the abuse that they give to others.
It's bullying.
Now, holding the ball, Neal, Purple.
Lockie Neal, he did say on Twitter, 3 weeks ago when he kicked 0-6, remember he kicked the six behinds. Yeah. According to my Twitter feed, a few of you have had me for a goal in their multis. Sorry about that. I owe you all a beer. So that's what Lockie said on his Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously his way of dealing with whatever it was he was coping with that day. But he shouldn't have to either. And he's clearly tried to make light of it and acknowledge it in a typical Lockie Neal way. But the fact that the footballers have to think about this as part of their game debriefs is a worry in itself, isn't it?
Holding the ball, Purple, I want to talk to you about that, because ever since Al Clarkson said that not enough of them are being paid, they are starting to be paid, but no one knows why and for what and what's going to happen next.
Yeah, and the glaring example out of the most recent matches was the Carlton West Coast game, wasn't it? And David Teague, I thought, spoke quite well after the match. He wasn't abusive or even all that critical of the umpires, but he was, I suppose, in dismay about the system that has come into play. And you're right to reference the Alistair Clarkson statements there, Jim, because there has been a change from that moment onwards. That was a round four comment that he made, and from there on, the game has been umpired differently. And I think to your point, and you've said this regularly on Triple M Footy since that moment, that you just don't know. When the whistle goes, you can be broadcasting, and while a certain decision was made a certain way only moments earlier, you don't know that it's going to be made the same way only minutes later, do you? So that was the issue with a couple of issues with decisions made against Carlton. Sam Petrevsky, Seaton was on the receiving end of a couple. It certainly was eyebrow raising. We had a look at it today on Access Hilarious, Jim. There were six or seven examples. Look, I think four or five of them were okay, but the glaring ones are the worry, aren't they? And the glaring ones are the ones that actually can go either way. And look, the AFL is not going to publicly say anything about this. And I do, Jim and Bill, sympathise with the umpires on this. They're being disrupted this year as much as any group of people in the AFL industry. And they can't get a crack at their training sessions. They can't get a crack at a proper debrief. And I do feel for them. I feel that the remote nature in which they're operating this year has not at all helped their cause. But, of course, the Alistair Clarkson comments, Jim, as you raise them, were the reason that we're talking about this 8 to 10 weeks later without there being a proper resolution.
I've got a thought on it, Purple, and that is that the clubs, if they can make it happen, need to get Ric Flair, need to get Rowdy Roddy Piper, need to get The Undertaker, whoever it is from WWE, because you remember that back in the day, you'd have a man pinned down and he was gone for all money, and then he'd do the full body shake and suddenly manage to get rid of a 400-kilo bloke from on top of him. If you're taken in a tackle now, Purple, you just got to do the Ric Flair, you know, do the salmon on the ground as hard as you can, and that's enough for the umpire not to pay holding the ball.
Simple as that, is it, Jim? Is it? You reckon?
That's it. That's all they need to do. And I'd like to see Rowdy Roddy Piper again anyway. Hey, moving on from that, Purple, can you see prelim final Jim behind me here?
I can. Oh, I know. Looks like you're a Richmond jumper, Jim.
Yeah, that's the Claremont back in the 1990 final series, actually, versus South Fremantle, Subiaco Oval, centre half back. I think that was about possession number 24, Fat, and just did it Jim. With Glenn Denning style.
Mate, you said 20 in the opener, so you've already.
I think I've added a few more. Four more, yeah, and that's halfway through the third quarter too.
Have you also declared to your list? Have you also declared to the listeners, Jim, that you were playing seconds football in that photo?
Yeah, doesn't matter. It's final at Subiaco Oval versus Swan Districts. You can see it there, right next to newsreader Jim, actually. And before I finish having to broadcast from home, that whole wall is going to be furnished Fat with paraphernalia.
And guess what? The next one is next, Bill?
Which one do you want up next?
A cockhead, Jim.
No, I've got lots of them.
hey, you know what I'm liking, boys? While we're having a nice chat about footy here, I'm liking the shorter quarters and hence the shorter games. Are you in agreement with me?
As an ideal, Bill, no, I'm not. I totally understand and
what
get
what you mean as an ideal. You either do or
I
you
think
don't.
Well, there's no such thing as an ideal world this year, but I would like to think that it does go back to the 20-plus time on because I feel it creates more drama for the classical games. You might want to throw back to me, Bill, that the Port Adelaide Richmond game on the weekend was a ripper, and it absolutely was. But I just love the unknown about the fatigue that kicks into those games. But I do like what they've done though this year with it, Bill, and I think the players as a whole have really adapted to it really well.
I like the fatigue factor too, Purple, because when you get late in quarters, those last 5 minutes where players are generally out on their feet, that's when you can often rattle four or five on. And the only reason I don't like the shorter games is because if a team's get 30 points up, the game's over. Whereas last year and before, you can run down a 30-point lead. So I actually prefer the longer games, to be honest. And I suspect so do the broadcasters so they can get more ads away.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, Sorry, Damo. The other thing is, do teams not tag anymore? I've just been watching Lachie Neal, and I just read it in the Herald Sun. This is what he's had this year, Jim. 26, 32, 31, 29, 26, 30, 33, and 33. He's winning the Herald Sun 21 votes. Next is Boke on 12. So he's got that one. He's winning the Coaches Award. He'll probably win that. Do we not Brownlow? Just tag? Why wouldn't you run someone with him? Just someone.
I don't know. It's worth a try, isn't it?
I think it's the Richmond model, isn't it, Bill and Jim, in that they have, I suppose, built their success on each person in that team playing his role. And there's no tag role per se in it. There's sort of shut downish roles, but they're still running forward. So yeah, I reckon each team's tried to build it that way. Yeah, they're not. Just yeah, you're not right. They're not.
But there's De Boer, I reckon. And is there any other taggers in the comp?
Well, not Hutchings sometimes when he's playing for West Coast. But again, I think the longer games used to promote that role a bit more. But I'm with you, Fat. Even down, I mentioned it on the footy the other night, even down to Caleb Daniel for the Western Bulldogs, who is so clearly the player they use to distribute the footy out of defensive 50, and he's unbelievably good at it. Why wouldn't you get a defensive forward standing on him to make sure that they can't use him for that, and then they've got to use someone else?
Yeah, exactly. You know they're going to give it to him. He kicks it well. He sets him up. So, but Lachie Neale, he must just think, "What's going on here? I'll just run around and do what I want."
Good, it seems to be the taking, doesn't it? With the Brownlow, Petrarca is obviously having good seasons.
That was the best of Damo's recovery. You can get the whole thing by subscribing to the Rush Hour Catch Up podcast on the Triple M app.
When you need a tool, call Co-Tire on 13 15 52.